Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark with Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
Howdy.
Gary.
Yeah.
And this is Stuff You Should Know.
That sounded sardonic.
Yeary.
Yeary.
The J is silent. Like, yeah. Yawking.
Yawking. I'd never get sick of that movie.
No, it's a good one. I haven't seen the second one. Don't really intend to, but...
I'm afraid to.
Yeah.
Because it might tarnish my love of that character. Because yeah. I've heard it's not very funny.
So just keep it with the first one.
All right. I'm totally going to watch it. I'm just waiting for cable.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, TBS knows what they're doing with movies that were for the big screen.
Yeah.
Size them down.
Best start ever.
So you doing good?
I'm great.
Okay, good. So we're talking today.
Yes.
About IVF.
Yes.
And in vitro fertilization.
Yes.
And I have to say, Chuckers, yes. I don't really have, by the way, I don't have an intro for this one.
Okay.
Ta-da. Although I do have a bit of one.
All right.
Let's see. In 2013.
Yes.
A lady named Louise Brown celebrated her 35th birthday. And with her birthday coming and going,
yeah.
She announced that she was pregnant with her second child.
Good for her.
This is like mind-blowing, crazy stuff all over the place because Louise Brown was the first human being ever conceived using in vitro fertilization.
Yes. They called them test tube babies back then. Remember that?
Yeah, totally.
Test tube babies. You don't call it that anymore.
No, we've gotten a little more scientific as a society since the 70s.
Yeah, plus I don't think they use test tubes.
Yeah, if they ever did.
Yeah.
I think maybe Petri dishes, culture
Probably.
Dishes.
Yeah.
Not test tubes, but, you know.
Culture dish baby is.
Right.
That's weird.
Test tube baby, it kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
It's got the two T sounds, which makes it a little funny-ish.
Yeah.
And intriguing.
Yeah.
But that's what she was. She was the first test tube baby. It was 1978 in England. And she was born July 25th, I think. Like just a few days later, I think, the second IVF baby was born in India.
Oh, yeah.
In very short order.
Yeah.
There were two. I'm sure their doctors were like, come on, will you give birth
Seriously?
Already? I want to be the first.
Nobody remembers number two.
And then the following year, in 1979, the first American IVF baby was born. And that's the history of IVF. Like, it just goes back that far.
Yeah.
Since then, I think more than 35 million IVF babies have been born.
Yeah, I think a couple of hundred thousand each year in the U.S. alone now.
Yeah. It was like in the 60s, 80s. Now it's up to like 100 and something, 100 and change, I think.
No, I got over 200,000.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Really? I saw 61,740 in 2012.
Or maybe it's 200,000 worldwide.
Okay. All right.
Let's just settle on that.
I'll bite on that one. But that's a lot of babies that are born through IVF.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how the thing that struck me, and finally, we're getting to the end of the intro.
Okay.
Is that what IVF is. Mm-hmm. It seems so like whiz bang crazy futuristic.
It's really not.
No, it's figuring out. We figured out how a woman becomes pregnant, and figured out the ways that we could possibly best help that process along.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's really, there's no like crazy new technology. They don't like buzz her with like a Prego laser.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. It's strictly like catheters and timing and,
yeah,
you know, hormones.
Yeah.
It's crazy how simple it is, but it's also equally crazy that, you know, it's as successful as it is considering what in vitro fertilization consists of.
Yes. I guess we can go ahead and talk about success rates. In the U.S., women under the age of 35 have a 30 to 35% chance of conceiving with IVF. It drops to 20 to 25% between 35 and 40, 6 to 10% over 40, and that is percentages of live birth cycle, which is
per key. Yeah, per cycle. So, like, if you go through a cycle of in vitro fertilization,
yeah,
you have the percentage chance typically, which yeah, is pretty much in lockstep with natural birth rates according to age.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely decreases with age.
Oh, yeah, but
I'm not saying it's like one for one.
Yeah,
sure, yeah,
yeah,
totally. But I'm saying that I think the depreciation of possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes down with age naturally, as well with IVF, too.
Yeah, and live birth is the key here because many times there will be conception and there will be a pregnancy, but any number of things can go wrong from there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Chemical pregnancies.
Ectopic pregnancies.
Ectopic pregnancies.
Apparently some Chinese researcher did a survey of 100,000 plus live IVF births.
Yeah.
And found that there's a correlation. You were three times likelier to have a major birth defect if you were born via in vitro fertilization than natural.
Oh, really?
And he just found a correlation, not a cause, but just the numbers for some reason spit that out.
Yeah, well now, one of the new things you can do is opt for, at a certain point in the process, PGD, which is, pre-implantation genetic diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a test that will cost you several thousand dollars, and it basically, it allows you to root out certain, monogenetic disorders. Like, you can get PGD testing and find out if, the baby might have, like, sickle cell or Huntington's disease or cystic fibrosis or mm-hmm. Downs, and then, you can make a decision at that point whether or not you want to continue with the process.
Yeah, you know, there's a real concern that there won't be, like, that Down syndrome people will be extinct.
Yeah.
Eventually because
all the genetic testing, sure,
have gotten so accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that'll happen.
Well, and there's also ethical concerns with PGD about, you know, do you do selective termination if you find out it's a boy and you wanted a girl?
Right. Or, I didn't want a kid with brown eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of ethical
quandaries.
Yeah,
yeah,
associated with it. And it's even more basic than that for a lot of people, too. Like, if you have a fertilized egg, or even just an egg,
yeah,
with a potential human life to some people,
yeah,
that destroying just the egg that was never fertilized is like a moral problem.
Yeah, or let's say you have a chance of multiples, twins or triplets or quads or more. If you're a certain age, that is not good and can be dangerous.
For you as the mother and yeah, for the kids, too.
Yeah. So at that point, you might have to go through what they call selective reduction, which is
right,
you know, choosing which ones to go with.
Well, there's a lot of pitfalls to
yeah,
this. But there's a lot of people who are helped by it as well. And at the very least, there's a lot of people who seek the help from it. I saw something like in this article, which I think was written in 2006 or 7.
Yeah, it's a little outdated.
A tad. They said 6.1 million Americans are faced with infertility, which infertility is not like, bam, you're infertile. Here's what's wrong with you.
Right.
Infertility.
Well, it can be.
Right, but yeah, it isn't always.
Yeah.
Technically, infertility, the definition of infertility is that you have gotten it on for a year, unprotected.
Yeah.
And no baby's been produced.
Yeah, or 6 months if you're over 35.
Okay.
But it depends on the doctor. Like, this article talked a lot about, well, if you've gone this far and you've done these procedures, mm-hmm, then they'll move you to this.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the places are fertility clinics or baby factories, and they'll you can go right to IVF if you want to.
And, I would
and
guess,
if,
yeah.
And if they say that they believe in it. So it, there's not like any hard and fast law.
Right.
You know.
That's the impression. After doing this for how many years have we been doing this now?
80.
After 80 years of doing this, I've learned that a How Stuff Works article is like, it deals in ideals.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like, this is how it works in the real world. It's like, this is how it works according to the law.
That's true. We do our best.
Yeah. So apparently about 7.3 million people are faced with infertility, and they turn to IVF. And IVF is far and away the most popular form of what's called assisted reproductive technology.
Yeah.
Which, as we said, sounds whiz-bang and futuristic, but not necessarily.
Yeah, about 50% of ART methods are what they call low-tech, which is maybe we'll put you on some hormones.
Mm-hmm. Antibiotics apparently are a huge one.
Oh, really?
A huge treatment for infertility. Yeah, they supposedly, especially unexplained infertility, which affects something between 10 to 30% of infertility cases are just unexplained.
Yeah.
They're like, there's nothing structurally wrong with you.
Right.
Your husband's sperm is fine.
Yeah.
Like, we can't figure it out.
Well, getting pregnant isn't the easiest thing in the world.
No, it's not.
It seems that way in the movies.
But there's an explanation for things, even when it's unexplained. And because there's this whole unexplained thing, Chuck, there's like, a lot of suggestions as to, you know, what's at play.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is kind of like, man, woman, get together, have child, have another child.
Yeah.
Maybe a third, and like, it's no problem.
Yeah.
Like you said in the movies.
Well, and especially when age comes in, you know, people are getting married later.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, a 16-year-old have a baby without any problem.
Right.
It's sort of weird that things haven't changed reproductively speaking. Like,
no.
People are getting married in their mid-30s, but you can still get pregnant when you're 13.
Right.
And it's like,
it hasn't shifted.
It's not going to shift
with cultural attitudes.
No.
No, which is why we're like, okay, well, we need technology then.
Right.
Right.
But like I said, about half the assisted reproductive technology methods are low tech. Clomid is a big, probably the most popular fertility drug treatment.
Yeah, they've been using that since like the 50s, right?
I don't know. Did it say 50s?
Either 50 years or since the 50s.
Okay. Well, it's an oral medication, and it is used to induce ovulation. And actually now men I've seen have used it to increase testosterone.
Oh, yeah?
Because an NFL player just got banned for using Clomid for fertility.
Huh.
Because they said it increases testosterone, so it was a performance-enhancing drug.
But he was using it to try to get pregnant?
I mean, that's what he said.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, Robert Mathis of the Colts, so he was suspended. But Clomid alone, you have an 85% chance of ovulation success and about a 43% chance of pregnancy success over three cycles. And after three cycles, that number goes way down.
Oh, really? Like it becomes less and less probable that you'll conceive after three cycles?
Yeah, it's the same through three, and that's just with Clomid.
Okay.
And then after that, like, what people generally do is try a few different methods before moving on to IVF.
Right.
Like, just the hormones, or what we'll talk about now, which is artificial insemination.
Right, and that assisted reproductive technology.
Yeah.
It's an umbrella term. Artificial insemination is an umbrella term underneath the ART umbrella.
Yeah.
And it's basically any time you try to give the sperm a leg up in its race toward the egg.
Yeah, it's inseminated artificially. In other words, it doesn't come directly from the penis into the vagina.
Right?
Why does that make you laugh still?
I just felt like I was in the kindergarten cop class.
Yeah, it's when the sperm is harvested and... For AI, for artificial insemination, it's either implanted intravaginal or intracervical.
Right.
So in the vagina or in the cervix.
But if you're going to put it directly into the cervix or the uterus, you have to wash them.
Yes. You can't put untreated sperm directly into the uterus because you will have what's called a uteral contraction.
Which apparently is extraordinarily unpleasant. The sperm have some sort of, that's called protoglandins, I think.
Yeah.
that you have to wash off the sperm. If you don't, the protoglandins will set off these contractions in the uterus.
Exactly. So they, and I said utero, I think I meant uterine contractions. They're pretty violent.
Yeah.
So yeah, you wash the sperm and, not only does it remove those protoglandins, it's, it eliminates any substance that'll get in the way and make the sperm motile. And motile means they're good swimmers.
Right. That's another advantage of using artificial insemination is you can say, you're cut. You made the team. You're cut.
Right.
And then you put together this dream team of the best sperm and you say, go get them.
That's right.
Right?
Yep. So if you're using the wash sperm and directly onto the uterus, that's called IUI, intrauterine insemination. And that's just kind of one step further than AI. Like artificial insemination, you can do the turkey baster method at home.
Sure.
If you want.
So
that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like they have kits.
That's a form of artificial insemination.
That is artificial insemination. Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, it's an umbrella term.
Well, yeah. If you're using the turkey baster at home, you're artificially inseminating.
But you're probably inserting it directly into the vagina, maybe the cervix. You're not doing intrauterine insemination.
No, you can't do IUI at home.
No.
Unless you have a sperm washer.
Right. Which you can afford one of those these days, you know?
That's right. So if those fail, then your next step is probably going to be IVF. But like I said, depending on your age and what's going on, you can skip straight to IVF if your doctor says that's okay.
Well, we'll skip straight to IVF after a message break. How about that?
Smooth. Stuff you should
know. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, so let's talk about the IVF process, huh?
Yeah, again, pretty low-tech, high-tech stuff. It's neat.
Yeah, it'll cost you about 12 grand.
12 to 20, I saw.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the ranges for these procedures because it depends on where you are. And if you have insurance, I think 15 states require insurance to cover it.
Let me interject here. There is an argument that the lack of standards in pricing for medical procedures is the single problem for why the healthcare system in the U.S. is broken.
Yeah.
That it's not necessarily insurance, that it's not necessarily chronic disease, that it is, if you came up with standard pricing, you could solve quite a bit of the
Car mechanics.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be a standard.
Yes.
I never knew that with car mechanics. If you, when they say how much time it takes, it's really not they don't time how long it takes. There's a manual that says, changing a carburetor is 1.5 hours.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just know that, Mr. Goodbranch posts his.
Does he?
On the board.
Well, good for him.
Like McDonald's.
What? Like, oh, a menu?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. I agree with you about the medical standards.
It makes a lot of sense. Yes, chronic disease is a huge problem, especially preventable chronic disease.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the only issue here. It's the fact that you can be charged almost literally an arm and a leg, depending on where you go.
That's right. So IVS, it'll cost you some money, but if you have good insurance, then that'll help out. So there are basically five steps. The first is ovarian stimulation. This is when you're going to be taking fertility drugs. It's could be a couple of weeks of that. Some are oral. Sometimes you're going to be given shots to your wife, or if the lady's on her own, she'll be given shots to herself. Because the good thing about IVF is you don't need a live man necessarily.
No, you just need the sperm.
Yeah. So a lot of,
and it could come from anywhere.
Yeah. Single ladies or,
all the single ladies.
Or, ladies in the LGBT community. I always want to mix up those letters.
Oh, yeah.
Like there doesn't need to be a man involved.
No. I mean, at some point, I guess if you could grow sperm in a lab from stem cells.
Not directly involved.
Then
yes.
Technically you could do that. But no, it doesn't have to be involved.
You can harvest sperm from a sperm bank.
It could, yeah. Anonymous donor, friend of a friend.
Yeah.
Transient who's just passing through town.
Sure.
Whatever your standards are, you could conceivably get your hands on some sperm.
Yeah.
And then bam, you don't need a man.
I was it from Lebowski? I could get you some sperm by 3 p.m.
That is a great movie, man. I saw that again for the first time in a while recently.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think he's talking about a big toe. I can get you a big toe by 3 p.m. but yes, you will need sperm if you're the husband and it's just your regular old husband and wife trying to conceive, or just man and woman.
Right.
Then the husband will deposit that sperm in a little room designed to make that happen. And then they will take the sperm and wash it and hold it. And it's all timed out, you know, appropriately, of course.
Gotcha.
They can't hold on to it forever.
And so that's the ovarian stimulation. Like you're trying to get the eggs to come along. And not only are you trying to get an egg to come along, you're trying to get several to come along.
Yeah, that's the whole point, if you want multiple eggs.
Right. So, you know, a woman is born with all of the approximately 400,000 eggs she'll ever produce in her life.
Yeah. And that number just goes down.
Right. During her menstrual cycle, one of those eggs enters a fallopian tube and it becomes mature, right? So what these hormones do is get a bunch of those eggs into their fallopian wrappers and get them to mature over time. And the doctor, I guess, pays attention to how they're maturing. And when he decides these eggs are ready to go, that's when you hit step two, which is the egg retrieval step.
That's right. And that is not super complicated either. It's called, the name sounds complicated, transvaginal ultrasound aspiration. But what it really is a mild sedative and a suction device that sucks out the eggs. And that's really all there is to it.
Yeah,
it's pretty amazing. If you cannot use the TUA method, you will have to undergo a more involved procedure called laparoscopic surgery, which isn't super involved either. It is also a short process, but there's a small incision in the abdomen to locate your ovaries.
Yeah, they put a little video camera in there.
Yeah. So more involved, obviously, because it is a surgical procedure, but it's not like you're staying in the hospital for a week or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just more involved because you have to use more anesthesia, too, which automatically increases risks.
Exactly.
With the other one, aspiration?
Yeah.
I guess you just need a mild sedative, it says here.
Yeah, it's like twilight sleep.
Gotcha.
All right, so step three, you've got your eggs. You've got your multiple eggs. They're all looking good. Then you...
Yeah, because they go through and they look at them and say, this one looks good, this one looks good. Nah, not this one.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when PGD can take place. I think after fertilization.
I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would have to be.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So then you've got your insemination, and like I said, you've got your sperm, however you got it. We ain't asking.
Right.
Whatever. It was a transient on the street. More power to you. They examine the eggs and say, these look robust and juicy and full, and right, these are the best ones. So we're going to use these. And that's when the sperm is added, and the best sperm is picked, and then it's in a culture and it's doing its thing.
Right. And depending on the sperm, they might inject it directly into the egg.
Yeah.
Which is called, intracytoplasmic sperm injection. They could also
just... Great band name.
Right. That's like the sperm doesn't have to go into the egg. It gets put into the egg.
Right.
But more traditional methods are just inserting it into the, near the egg in the culture, right?
Yeah.
And the culture can be artificial, but, it's also often made of the endometrium from the woman or, some, in addition to possibly like her, cervical fluids.
Yeah.
So like it's basically mimicking.
Yeah.
What would be going on in like the fallopian tube or something.
That's
like
all they're
that.
Doing is taking the process that normally happens inside the woman's body and doing it outside for a little while.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
And so you've got the egg and the sperm in the same culture, and within possibly an hour,
yeah,
fertilization might have taken place.
There's an open bar. Everyone's getting to know each other.
Right.
Everyone's getting friendly. A little icebreaker happens. And like you said, it can be hours when they are doing the fertilization dance.
Right.
And the next day, your doctor's going to confirm visually that there are two pronuclei, and that is the basis of your embryo right there.
If you
see that, then that means things are headed in the right direction.
Because the pronuclei from the sperm and the pronuclei from the egg are going to fuse to make a single nuclei.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the embryo, which divides into, well, that becomes the zygote, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Which divides into two cells. And then I think by the time it's either two or four cells, it becomes an embryo. Right?
Yeah.
And then,
and that's a couple of days after fertilization is when you get to that stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cell division is very slow at first, but then it starts to pick up time. By the time you reach day five or six, you've got what's called a blastocyst. And by this time, there's, fetal tissues growing in like a embryonic fluid cavity. And this thing is.
There's a placenta.
Yeah, pretty much. The doctor's not normally going to see this. They're going to observe the egg, the fertilized egg or embryo for maybe a couple of days to make sure everything's progressing normally. And then they'll put it back into the mom.
Yeah. I mean, that can be done, after one day, but, your doctor, they'll have a plan of when they think the best time is and you're being monitored and all that. Not you, the man, but the woman is being monitored.
Sure.
They don't care about the man.
And then depending on where they put it, That's the type of assisted reproductive technology that's being used, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you are using IVF, the thing's been fertilized outside of the womb, outside of the body.
Yeah.
And then introduced into the uterus.
Yeah, it's called a transfer.
Yeah. And they basically just use a catheter, right?
Yeah, it's suspended in fluid to, I guess, just make it easier to get in there.
It's like those peanuts, the foam peanuts for shipping. It's that version.
Exactly. So it's suspended in a drop of fluid, and it is a long, thin catheter, and it's placed into the vagina, past the cervix, right there in the uterus, and squirt, there it goes.
Yes.
And it's really that easy.
There's another process called zygote intrafallopian transfer. Where, it's the same process.
Yeah.
But instead of depositing the fertilized egg into the uterus.
Yeah.
They put it into the fallopian tube.
Right. And I think that has not as great a chances as IVF. Is that right?
I think you try ZIFT is what it's abbreviated as, before IVF.
Okay. But again, all those rules are subject to change.
Yeah.
Depending on your doctor and your situation. And then your embryo, hopefully, will attach to the uterine wall. If it attaches, I think we said ectopic pregnancy is, when it does not attach to the uterine wall, but, outside of the uterus, but usually the fallopian tube, I think.
Right. It like never descends into the uterus.
And so you can't get pregnant that way, or you can't have a kid that way.
No, you can't. Like, no. Even if the kid starts to develop, you have to terminate the pregnancy because it will kill you.
That's right. Or, you can get what's called a chemical pregnancy, which is basically just a really early miscarriage. Super early in the process.
Chemical pregnancy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are just a couple of things that can go wrong along the way. You know, it's a stressful time for the couples because they're probably at their, it's probably their last step.
Yeah.
Toward having a natural, as they call them.
Sure.
And then the woman is also getting injections for hormones throughout that can be rough on the lady as well.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
So, in addition to being injected with hormones, having your eggs harvested, getting laparoscopic surgery, like your husband being in a room where he has to ejaculate into a cup and like all of this stuff, there are actual risks involved, like physical risks. So like we said, with if you get the laparoscopic surgery when your eggs are harvested, like you have the risk that comes from any kind of anesthesia, any kind of surgery like that.
Sure.
So there are things like chest pains. What else?
Well, there's one risk called OHSS, ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, and that's when your ovaries swell up, which is super painful. And about 30% of patients experience that, but it can range from mild cases where you just take over-the-counter meds to more severe cases, moderate to severe, where, you know, gas, nausea, and vomiting, and no appetite. And I think only 1-2% of women experience severe OHSS.
Yeah.
And that means you're probably gonna go to the hospital, gain a lot of weight, like things that women don't like.
And that's the result of those fertility drugs. Like the ovary is like, whoa.
Yeah.
I did not sign up for this.
Yeah.
You're overstimulating me.
Yeah.
And I'm fighting back.
Pretty much.
But yeah, it does sound like it's fairly common, at least in a mild form. And it's in the mildest form, apparently, it clears up on its own.
Yeah.
So then, like I said, with egg retrieval, you have the general anesthetic issue. And then even with the lighter aspiration procedure, there's still problems. Like you can get an infection.
Yeah.
You can have structural damage.
Yeah.
But speaking of structural damage, in addition to in vitro fertilization, you could also try surgery. That's another avenue that some people try to solve their infertility. Like if you have, if your fallopian tube is blocked or whatever, they can go in and
Yeah. Like if you have a physical problem,
right?
Yeah.
So, Chuckers, we already mentioned ZIFT. Have you heard of GIFT?
I have. Gamete intrafallopian transfer is similar to IVF, but it's in the fallopian tubes. Now, what's the difference between ZIFT and GIFT then?
Okay, I'll explain.
Oh, wait. ZIFT is in a lab.
Yes.
GIFT is in the fallopian tubes.
Yeah, like you go in and artificially inseminate the egg in the fallopian tube.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But if you have damaged fallopian tubes, you can't use the GIFT method.
No. But the GIFT method, the advantage of it is it much more closely mimics natural birth or natural pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because the egg is inseminated in the fallopian tube and then it just goes about its normal process from there.
Yes.
So aside from having sperm introduced through a needle, it's totally natural.
Yeah. But it's not used. It's only like 2% of cases. And I think ZIFT is only 1%.
Yeah. I saw even less than that. I saw that both of them are less than 1%.
And yeah.
The big blockbuster is in vitro fertilization.
And then there's something called ICSI, intracytoplasmic sperm injection. And that's a treatment that you'll do alongside IVF.
Yeah, remember I was saying, like, depending on how the sperm is introduced, that's one way that it might work.
Yeah, in about 40% of cases, I think they use the ICSI method.
And that's just in injecting the sperm basically into the egg itself.
Well, a single sperm. That's like,
right.
Your sperm has problems, and so we're going to pick out one dude.
Hercules.
And the cool thing about IVF is... If you have multiple eggs that are really great, you can freeze the ones you don't use. And if you want to go back for round two, you can skip the first part of the harvesting and go directly to the next steps.
Yeah, I guess you could skip all the hormones and all of the possible overstimulation of ovaries.
Yeah,
and...
the initial hormones, but you still have the ones on the backside. But
gotcha.
It's being able to skip that first bit is a big relief to a lot of women.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's worth the expense, too.
To freeze them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, what's crazy about all this, Chuck, is that not all insurance covers this. A lot of insurance treats IVF procedures as an elective procedure.
Sure.
As a result, some states, I think 15 states, have laws on the book saying if you're an insurance company operating in our state, you have to, at the very least, cover infertility treatments.
Yeah, and I mean, just check with your insurance if you're interested. They may cover some, but not all. But you'll probably get some assistance.
You hope.
Yeah.
Or you can just move to a state like Massachusetts that has like...
Yeah. The law.
Yeah, basically the law is like you cover IVF. Apparently they have...
Yeah.
Right. They have some of the best IVF doctors up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I read an article that interviewed this one couple and they were... some state that didn't have any insurance laws about IVF.
Yeah.
And they moved to Massachusetts and they said it was like going from a hospital that didn't even have x-ray technology to going into like the most cutting edge type of hospital you could possibly imagine. Just because it's required there, the doctors by nature are all just experts at it because they've done so much work on it.
They're trying to make little baby liberals.
Right. Little Ted Kennedy's running around.
Exactly.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
So
Godspeed, couples out there going through this stuff.
Yeah, Godspeed and good luck.
Yeah.
We wish you well. And if you want to learn even more about this, you can type in vitro fertilization in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And that brings up listener mail.
I'm going to call this work surveillance.
Okay.
Remember we did that one?
Yeah.
About people, employees spying on you?
Yeah.
Employers spying?
Which is true.
Hey guys, I work for blank company, a large shipping corporation, let's call.
Shipco.
Yeah, Shipco. For 7 years. When I started, I loved the company and the job. As things shifted more towards a bottom line oriented attitude with the company, I started to get pretty burnt out, began looking for something else to do with my life. I'd always had an intense interest in electric guitars, not just as a player, but as something I studied from a historical standpoint. I would always enjoy taking apart and messing with my guitars. At some point, I became interested in luthiery and decided to become a guitar maker. So what I ended up doing...
Wait, luthiery?
Yeah, like a luthier is a guitar maker.
Huh. Like a Cooper makes the barrels?
Yeah, wine barrels, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, a luthier makes a guitar.
I did not know that.
Luthier. What ended up happening, I would finish up my workload for the day and tidy up the store. And if there were no customers, I would work on my guitar designs at work. For a while, the management didn't care, but as the pressure started being put on them, they had to tell me to stop. But I didn't, because I'd found my passion. Finally, one day, I was pulled into the office and handed screenshots that I hadn't taken of my guitar design work. That I was doing on the clock.
Uh-oh.
So they had a program that wasn't just sending keystroke information to their security team, it was sending actual screens of everything going on it.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called.
Man, I would freak out if someone handed me screenshots.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I was put on disciplinary probation. Didn't make it to the end of that because I quit to pursue my dream. And I'm happy to say that I've been a full-time professional luthier ever since.
That's awesome.
One of my guitars was even on the cover of a recent issue of Premier Guitar Magazine.
Wow. That's like the Premier Guitar Magazine.
There's a second story about a robbery that happened while I was on that probation period. But I'll leave that for anyone curious enough to Google my name.
Tantalizing.
All right. That is from Paul Roney, R-H-O-N-E-Y. And he says, if either one of you guys wants a handmade USA electric guitar, by a company that doesn't spy on its employees and hit me up. I will hook you up.
Wow.
And I checked them out and they're sweet.
Yeah?
So yeah, I'm going to see what hook you up means and then talk to them.
10% off when you use coupon code STUFF.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that is from Paul Roney, and good for you for fighting Shipco.
Yeah, and pursuing your dreams, Mr. Roney.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And you're doing a good job. These things are beautiful.
Yeah. So if you want to let us know about how you stuck it to the man, you can tell us via Twitter at SYSK Podcast, on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow, through email at StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com, and check out our website while you're at it, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.